Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be saved. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8. We're going to continue our study on verse by verse through John. Those of you who have been here a while, I've been preaching verse by verse through the gospel according to John. John chapter 8, verse 12. Before we begin the reading, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for gathering us here to worship you. Thank you for this privilege to gather and study your word today. Give me the ability and the power to preach it. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In this verse-by-verse study, we're going to read a conflict between Christ and religious Pharisees. And he reveals the nature of their heart. These Pharisees were religious, but lost. And their words, the more they talked, the more they revealed their fallen, wicked, evil heart. I am unable today to look into the depths of your heart, friend. I can't look at you and tell you whether you are saved or not. All I can do is preach to you the Word of God, and the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This Bible can tell you whether you're saved or not. So we're going to study this conversation between the Lord and lost people. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. These Pharisees reveal the true nature of their heart. The title of this message is called Seven Signs That You're Lost. Seven Signs That You're Lost. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. The first sign that you're lost is that you reject the record that God gave of His Son. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. The Lord was not alone. Every word that the Lord spoke, the Father backed him up on it. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Everything that the Lord said was true. Amen. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Whenever the Lord was baptized by John the Baptist, the Father parted the clouds and said, This is my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. The Father testified that this was His Son. The Lord Jesus Christ was deity, and great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ was God Almighty, manifested in the flesh. You must believe the record of His person, the Son of God, His deity. And if He was the Son of God, if He was deity, He had to have a sinless life. Otherwise, He wouldn't be God. Amen? Amen. He had to be sinless. And the Lord God Almighty from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Father wouldn't be pleased with the Son if he was a sinner, right? He had to be sinless. He had to be sinless. Verse 18, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. He said it once. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins." That's two. "For if ye believe not that I am he," there's three, "you will die in your sins." He said it three times. You will die in your sins if you do not believe the record that God gave of his Son. These people did not believe that Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son. And he warned them three times that if you do not believe that he is God's only begotten Son, if you do not believe that he was God manifested in the flesh, let me warn you, friend, if you're here today and don't believe that, you will die in your sins. You will die in your sins. He was the Son of God. He had a sinless life. He had a pleasing sacrifice on the cross. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 10, it says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." The Lord said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He was pleased with this person. He was pleased with his sinless life. He was pleased with his sacrifice. He was pleased with his sacrifice on the cross. He was pleased with his bodily resurrection and ascension. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, but hold your place in John because we're going to come back to this. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. "God, who was at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person," he had to be perfect, amen, "and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins," there's that perfect sacrifice, "sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." The Father, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, the Father looked at his perfect only begotten Son and said, "Sit down." Sat down at the right hand of the Father. And one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord God Almighty. But that is the record that God gave of his Son. We're commissioned as a church to preach that record. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ came into this world, lived a sinless, perfect life because he was God manifested in the flesh. Lived a sinless, perfect life, something you and I cannot do. And he bled and died on an old rugged cross. And on the third day, he rose from the grave. We are commissioned as a church to preach that record that God gave of his Son. Amen? And if you do not believe the gospel, you are not a Christian. Let's go back to John, but in chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse 33. "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while, am I with you? And then I go unto him that sent me. He was talking about his resurrection. Ye shall seek me. He was talking to lost Pharisees. And shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. The Lord Jesus Christ said that he was going to go to the Father. And those lost Pharisees would never go where he could go because they were lost. They would not believe the record that God gave of his Son. Let's go back to John chapter 8. Turn the page over to John chapter 8, verse 21. He reiterates this point. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, he was talking about heaven, ye cannot come. Those lost Pharisees would not believe the record that God gave of his Son. And he warned them three times, you will die in your sins if you do not believe the record. Hold your place and let's go to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. So it wasn't just the Father. It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There's your proof verse for the Trinity right there. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's a litmus test. Do you believe the record that God gave of his Son, or you do not? You are either saved or lost. There is no gray area. And once you're saved, you become a child of God forever by the new birth. Let's go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 25. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge unto you. But he that sent me is true. The record that God gave of his Son is true. Amen? And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father that taught me, as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that do what? Please him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. As he spake these things, many believed on him. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The first evidence that you're lost is you don't believe the record that God gave of his Son. The second evidence that you may be lost is that you have no desire for the word of God. He said to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hold your place and let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, we're in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. One thing I know a lot about babies is babies like to eat. Babies like to eat a lot. And if a person is born again, they're going to want to taste the sincere milk of the word. And if a baby is not eating, you might want to call a doctor. And if you profess to be a Christian and you have no desire to study His Word, you probably need to call the great physician. Amen? It says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Every Christian wants to grow. Amen? And if you do not desire the Word, could be an evidence that you have never been born again. If that baby ain't eating, he probably is not alive. And if you have no desire to eat on the Word of God, your faith may be dead also. Your faith may be dead also. The first verse that I read was, Jesus is the light of the world. He that abideth in me shall not dwell in darkness. The Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Maybe you have no desire for the Word is because you are living in darkness, lost. Third point I want to make is that you're not convinced of sin. Let's go back to our text in John chapter 8, begin reading in verse 33. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It violates God's perfect, holy commandments. And the Pharisees saw no wrong in what they were doing. They saw no wrong in what they were doing. Earlier in John chapter 8, they drug a woman in the temple just to prove a point. They were going to stone this woman to death. Just to prove a point, they was not at all interested in the law. Let's look at verse 6. Verse 6 of chapter 8. That reveals their motive right there. This they said they, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among them, let him first cast a stone at her. They wasn't at all interested in keeping the law. They did that to prove a point. They were going to stone this woman in adultery just to prove a point. They was not at all interested in keeping the law of God. They wanted to prove a point. This woman was guilty, but their motive was not to fulfill the law. Their motive was to prove a point. A lost person is not convicted of their sins. And if they do get convicted, they usually flee away from it and try to make excuses. They try to pick and choose what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. A lost person usually rolls by the phrase, "I'm wild and free." You're not free. You are the biggest prisoner that's ever walked the face of this earth. You ain't wild and free. You're just wild and in bondage. You're nothing but a wild prisoner in your sins. They usually live wild and free. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to have no rules except their own. They want to pick and choose what they believe. They want to pick and choose what's right and what's wrong, by what standard. They're wicked, fallen, unconverted heart. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing. And any opposition to their lifestyle, well, you're just religious. You're just a bunch of religious bigots. Any time that you give them the Word of God, they usually make the excuse, well, you're just religious. Nothing but excuses. They cannot be convinced that they're a sinner. They cannot be convinced that there's anything wrong with their lifestyle. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. We all deserve hell. We all deserve hell. And until you see yourself as a rotten, low-down, hell-bound sinner, you will never seek Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must see yourself as you are. You must know you're lost and deserve to be in hell with your back broke, and come to a thrice holy God and seek mercy through His Son who died and rose from the grave. Amen. The next evidence that you can have if you're lost is that your father is not God the Father. Your father is the devil. Verse 37 of John chapter 8. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." Your father. "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father." So they like talking about their father, see? And watch what the Lord says to them. "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then they said unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." So they tried to say, God's our Father. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came to God, from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The fourth evidence is that your father is the devil. It is a lie straight out of the pit of hell to say we are all the children of God. You were born a child of the devil, which is why you must be born again. Whenever you are born again, you become a child of God. How do you know if you're a child of the devil or a child of God? How do you know? You understand that every son wants to make his father proud. Every child wants to make his father proud. Every young man wants to hit that home run at the ball game. Every young man wants to score that touchdown and hear his daddy say, "I'm proud of you." Turn to 1 John chapter 5 once again. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1. 1 John 5:1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You want to make your heavenly Father proud. You want to please your Father, and you want to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Every child wants to hear their daddy say, "I'm proud of you, son." Every son wants to hear that from their father. And every child of God wants to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Notice that it also says, everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten unto him. Why do you want to be in church today? Because you want to be here and love the Lord and worship him, because he is your father. And you want to be around your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so good to be a part of the family of God. You want to be around your family. So why do you want to, if you're lost, why do you want to go to the bars? If you're lost, why do you want to go to the pool halls? Why do you want to go to all the parties? Because that is where your family is. Because you are of your father, the devil, and you want to be with your brothers and sisters in the devil rather than be in the house of God where the children of God are. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather be in church or would you rather be in a bar? In church. Everybody wants to be around family, right? Would you rather be living for the Lord? Would you rather be out witnessing? Would you rather pray every day? Would you rather read your Bible? Or would you rather go out bed hopping? Would you rather go out binge drinking? Would you rather go out on a drug rampage? What would you rather do, friend? Because you want to make your father proud. You want to make your father proud, whoever he is. If you're lost, you want to make your father, if you're saved, you want to make your father, God the Father, proud. If you're lost, you want to make your father, the devil, proud, right? Who's your father? Who is your father? My next point that I want to make is you're offended at truth. If you're lost, you're offended at truth. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Look at verse 40. Because now ye seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. A lost person gets offended at truth, don't he? Where's that in the Bible? Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. Let me ask you a question while you're turning there. Was King Ahab known for being a godly man? No. 1 Kings chapter 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. That was Ahab. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, I am as thou art, My people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the kings of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Understand, these were false prophets. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. He wanted to be patted on the head, didn't he? He wanted to be told he was going to be victorious all the time. I'm sorry, if you're going to be preaching truth, if you want to hear truth, you're not going to be pat on the head every Sunday. You're not going to hear a pick-me-up sermon every Sunday. Sometimes a sermon's got to be negative, amen? Let's keep going to the right. Go to Psalm 119. Psalms 119. Verse 175. Psalm 119, 165. Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's talking about the Word of God. Nothing out of the Word of God will offend you. Nothing out of the Word of God will be a stumbling block unto you. You're not going to make excuses and try to stumble around the Word of God. Nothing out of the Word of God will offend you if you are a child of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So let me ask you a question as you hear the Word of God preached. Do you have peace today, or are you offended? Nothing out of the Word of God shall offend you if you're saved. Amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 15. Let's keep going to the right. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Neither will he go unto the wise. If you're lost, you hate preaching. You hate truth. If the Word of God is here to reprove you, do you scorn it? Could it be because you don't love the author, as we demonstrated in Sunday school? A woman on her first date with a man gave her a book and she read it and she didn't like it a whole lot. And then on the second date he asked her, what did you think of it? And she said, I really wasn't a fan of it. And then he later told her that he was the author of that book. And then as they dated, as she fell in love with him, they later got married, she dusted off that old book and read it again. And she understood it then. She loved that book. That was her favorite book. You know what the difference was? She fell in love with the author. That's how it is with this book. If you're in love with the author, you're going to love this book. Amen? And whenever this book is preached, it's not going to offend you. It's not going to upset you. You're going to embrace it and say, well, if I need to change something, I'm going to change. Here's my favorite one. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. Here's my favorite one right here. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be forever, may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and the prophets prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. If you are offended at the truth of the word of God being presented to you, you are a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Prophesy unto us smooth things. Don't step on my toes whenever you preach. Be smooth. Why don't you preach like that preacher on TV that smiles a lot? Be smooth. Why don't you preach like that preacher that looks like a Backstreet Boy? Be smooth like him. Don't step on my toes and preach on my sin. Be smooth. Don't shout whenever you preach. Be smooth. Prophesy unto us good things all the time. Pat me on the head and tell me how good I am. Be smooth. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of God. If truth offends you, that's your crowd right there. That's your truth. You say, preacher, every time you preach, I feel like a beat hound dog. Probably because you ain't nothing but a hound dog. Next proof of a lost person is they have no reverence for the great I am. No reverence for the great I am. Let's go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? That's a terrible thing to say about the Son of God, ain't it? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? They don't understand who they're talking to, do they? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your father. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keepeth his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The Lord Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. That identified him with the I am of Exodus. And guess what? That I am of Exodus spoke to Moses through the burning bush, and he said, take your shoes off, Moses. You're on holy ground. And these people cursed Jesus. These people mocked Jesus to his face. because they did not understand that He was the I Am. If a person is lost, he has no reverence for the great I Am. They have no problem using His name as a cuss word. They have no problem joking about Him. And their whole life is nothing but a blasphemy to His name. Because there are too many people who profess to be Christians, which are not. They say, well, I'm a Christian, and they live like devils their whole lives. And that is blasphemy in itself. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things are become new. Too many people today are hanging on to a false profession of faith. My last point I want to make is, are you ashamed? Are you ashamed of the Lord? Keep going to the right to Romans chapter 1. I'm done in John. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, amen? He had his head chopped off for what he believed. He believed the gospel, and he was willing to die for his faith. And there are too many people today who call themselves a Christian that won't even go to church for their faith because they're ashamed. They're ashamed to stand up and say, I'm a child of God. They're ashamed to stand for truth today. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Keep going to the right to Romans chapter 10. This is talking about the profession of faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. Are you scared to admit that you're a Christian in public? Are you scared to say, I belong to Christ? Are you scared to take a stand for truth? The Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. Jesus is the light of the world. He that abides Him shall not dwell in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I believe in eternal security. I'm going to say it one more time. I believe in eternal security. Amen. Once you are a child of God, you are always a child of God. You cannot lose your salvation. Once you are saved forever. But I'm afraid that there are a lot of people today who are hanging on to dear life to a doctrine instead of the one who saves you and secures you. There are a lot of people today hanging on to dear life to a doctrine instead of the Savior. There's going to be a lot of people in hell sitting there saying, once saved, always saved, once saved, always saved. What happened? They never knew Him. They never knew Him. They hung on to dear life to a doctrine instead of the Savior. I believe that doctrine, but that doctrine is not your Savior. The one who saves you and secures you is your Savior. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world. He that abideth in Him shall not dwell in darkness. Why are you stumbling around in darkness today? Is the Lord lying whenever He said, He that abideth in Me shall not dwell in darkness? Is the Lord lying, or are you lying? If you're dwelling in darkness and saying, well, I'm a Christian, who's lying? You or Jesus? Who's lying? You or Jesus? I believe that there are too many people today hanging on to false professions, and that is a burden that I have. And I don't want no blood on my hands. I'm not going to pat you on the head every Sunday. I want to encourage y'all. I want to help y'all any way I can and encourage y'all. But I also want to preach the truth and preach the whole counsel of God. And there's always that possibility that maybe one here today could be lost. I can't look into the depths of your heart. Only God can. But I preached unto you the Word of God that can get inside your soul and discern whether you're saved or not or lost. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to study your word, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord, to be good ground. Help us to be faithful unto the end. Help us to make our calling and election sure today. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed and all eyes closed. I don't want nobody looking. Where do you see yourself in a trillion years from now? Where do you see yourself in a trillion years from now? You're going to be in one place or the other. New Jerusalem or the lake of fire? I want you to picture yourself where you see yourself in a trillion years. Does that give you peace or does that give you comfort? If you don't have that peace today, I invite you to come and get that peace today. Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross for a sinner like you and me, and he rose from the grave on the third day. And if you will repent and trust him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior, he'll save you right where you are. Why don't you come and get saved today? Maybe you're in here today and you're saved and you know you're saved, but you're burdened for lost relatives. You're burdened for lost loved ones. I invite you today to come to this altar and pray for them and give that burden to the Lord today. Let's stand. Why don't you come? You listen to the Lord today.